Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It is a Friday. It's a Roadshow Friday here at Miller Time Pub with Hail Varsity Radio as we are set to get ready for Rutgers invading. Chris Schmidt, Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson also alongside a second consecutive Friday. I think he likes it. There is no forcing going on here. Dr. Petey, good to see you again, man. How are you? A long week as Nebraska gets ready for Rutgers.
A long week.
Yeah.
I'm tired, and I'm happy that we finally get to play some football again.
Yeah, we will get into football, back to football tomorrow for Nebraska as they try and even their record up at 2-2. Rutgers comes in feeling confident. You got the defensive pedigree from Coach Ash, and just bumping around here down at Miller Time Pub. You run into a lot of Rutgers fans that are making the trip here. They do so because they were treated so well and had such a good time in a loss back in 2014 with Leonte Carew. That Nebraska team won 42-24. But we'll get into this discussion, not only about the athletic director vacancy, but also some names for that position. We'll get into football very shortly. The Rutgers-Nebraska matchup. Here's what's on the docket today. Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, will join us on Hail Varsity, as usual, Friday spot at 425. Friday forecast, a message from Clausburn on the opening with the athletic director job. And, of course, Greg Smith will give us a recruiting hit around 540. Best way to get in touch with us is we're on location down here at Miller Time Pub inside the Cornhusker Marriott, is on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at Dr. Petey 50. Those are some things we'll get into, not only tomorrow's contest, the injury bug, Rutgers' confidence level, but how about what's being said right now about Nebraska football? And before we get into that, I do want to tell you about what High Life Hour is all about at Miller Time Pub. That is food and drink specials you love. We're down here 13th and L in Lincoln. If you're making your way to Lincoln for the Nebraska game along the Hail Varsity Network, come see us at Miller Time Pub here. We're here till 6. High Life Hour goes till 7. And what that means for you, $2 off appetizers, the famous fried cheese curds that Derek Peterson will absolutely endorse.
Highly recommend.
They're tremendous. Chicken wings are awesome. Ultimate nachos, Miller Time fries. The pub pretzels I had last Friday, the blackened chicken quesadilla is a winner. And $2 off any draft beer. Miller products, as you'd imagine. If you're a Killian's Irish Red fan, get on down. Boulevard Wheat. Also, good stuff from Backswing, Zipline, Line of Kugels, Sam Adams, Empyrean, and Dollar Off House Wines and Well Drinks for High Life Hour going on as we are here with Hail Varsity Radio. High Life Hour 4 to 7 as we are here 4 to 6. All right, let's talk Nebraska and the word around the country yesterday. Locally, many folks reacting on Hail Varsity and on Hail Varsity Radio regarding the decision to move on from Sean Eichhorst. Overwhelmingly, the support was there to make a move, to make a change, to try and get Nebraska back in a positive direction with success and results on the field. That is number one. Nationally, the response has been varied. You look at Pete Trammell as a Yahoo guy. Listen, Nebraska, not the job it once was. Nebraska has an identity crisis. I think you can say they have an identity crisis on offense right now as they're trying to find something they're good at. Nicole Arbach, guest on the show from time to time. Nebraska, likely no more Mr. Nice Guy. That in reference to Mike Riley. What's his leash like with a new boss? Time will tell with that. There's still an opportunity. Coach Riley started 1-2 two times at Oregon State, 06 and 08, finished 9-4, knocked off USC. He's done it before. Will he do it again? I don't know. Matt Brown from SB Nation, 5 reasons Nebraska's still a great job. That's positive. And we'll get into if Nebraska still can command a major player at athletic director. To me, it's more about fit, getting somebody who gets Nebraska and can kind of move it forward from a positive standpoint of getting success out of the coaches and getting success out of the athletes in whatever arena, getting what Nebraska is about. Bill Dolman will have some things to say on that. And Bill Conley mentioned Scott Frost. Again, we aren't going to get into coaching search gossip because you still have a coach and he still has 9 games left for Nebraska. We talked the national reaction. We talked the local reaction. And Nebraskans are pretty caring people. They don't like seeing people lose their job. Not everyone's in line to hatchet Sean Eichhorst because they do believe he did do some good things. The big things, though, didn't get done correctly, or they're not winning at the level they need to win at. I want to get your take here, Derek. Dr. Petey with us, Derek Peterson. You were at the Riley press conference after the game. And after all the injury updates, there were questions here. Mike Riley's reaction saddened him to Sean Eichhorst. He was very glad and very happy that he got brought to Nebraska by Sean Eichhorst. And when it comes to his job status, he answered that you can control what you can control, and you can go out and win football games and be okay. So yeah, that was kind of Riley in a nutshell. But just from a body language and tone, I was not there. You were there with the folks from Hail Varsity covering it. I need to know what your read is on Riley as he addressed the media last night. What's your takeaway as they get ready for Rutgers?
Yeah, so he said the same things. He sounded like the same Mike Riley in terms of verbiage and what he was saying. But when you look at him, he very much looks like a coach that knows his fate, knows the writing on the wall. Eichhorst was a guy that brought him in, was the guy that vouched for him, and now he's gone. The guy that gave him a shot is gone. And it just, you got this sense, it was sad. It was sad, really, because you got to love Mike Riley. He's so nice. Mike Riley is a nice guy in there. But, like, I mean, he just seems like he knows what's coming, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it doesn't, I'm not stupid. I know that whoever the next athletic director is will 9 times out of 10 want their own guy. But I think the next guy they bring in will also evaluate the job that's going on. I mean, you have an opportunity from an evaluation standpoint to kind of make your case, show what your program can do, turn things around, win. You have monster games in front of you. That isn't necessarily a bad thing if you get things turned around. And Nebraska can find some consistency on offense. The defense keeps getting better. Your home schedule sets up for you. It's not like you have to go on the road to Ohio State, to Penn State, to Iowa, to Wisconsin. You do have to for Penn State, but 3 of those 4 come to Lincoln. And from a mood standpoint, I know Riley talked. I know Riley looks just physically – he didn't look good at all after the loss to Northern Illinois. He has looked better when talking to the media on Thursday. And from a distraction standpoint right now, let's go there. How do you think this team will be? How do you think this team's going to handle their opportunity when it comes to Rutgers?
That's the million-dollar question. I mean, we talked to the chancellor and the president on Thursday. This seemed like it was a move that was precipitated by the Northern Illinois loss, right? Like, they said all the right things.
I think it was a tipping point.
Yeah.
I think Eichhorst going to the media after the loss was the tipping point.
That was the thing, too, because they said they didn't know he was going to do that. So they didn't like the lack of communication that was there. But if that was the tipping point, the Northern Illinois loss, why wait until Thursday? I keep going back to this. Why wait until Thursday to make this decision? Why not make it on Monday? Or if you're going to wait, if you've got to kind of get your ducks in a row from a legal standpoint, why not put it off until maybe this upcoming Sunday, until after the Rutgers game? Because now you've got...
Maybe they wanted things cleared out homecoming?
Well, you got a team full of players now that they just lost their athletic director. And now
they care,
in
though?
48 hours they got to turn around. Well, I think recruits didn't care. Talking to Greg, recruits kind of, they're so-so. But the players know, I think the players know that... The AD is gone, which means Mike Riley is now close to being gone. And I think that they put that they can put two and two together.
Because they've been at Nebraska, and you're either going to get fired or there's talk of you being fired last 15 years,
and that's,
no matter who's the coach.
And that's the job they care about, the coach. They don't want to see Mike Riley go because, for the most part, all of them love Mike Riley, it seems like. And so to have kind of this dynamic that you have right now where you're going into – this is very much a must-win game for Nebraska.
It's more than that. It's a can't-lose.
You have to create a new – you have to create a new statement for what this game is going to mean. And just to have all of those distractions around a game that's this big 2 days before they have to play it, it's like – Why are you doing that to them?
Here's some thoughts on why they did what they did timing-wise. One, and Bounds touched on this, there was no good time except during the summer. Well, it isn't summer. So here's what Nebraska needs to do. They needed to make a change because the competition wasn't what it needed to be on field. They didn't say football, but it includes football. You do the math on that. Nebraska and Riley are 16-13 during his run.
It was a hint, hint, wink, wink at football.
Sure, sure. And they didn't single out Riley. It isn't about Mike Riley. Now, he needs to win. That was made very clear. But it was more about Sean, and there was kind of a running tab of missteps and things they weren't happy with. The biggest number on this bill we're talking about was the 1-2 start, the sub-500 season in 2015, and then how 2016 finished in embarrassing fashion on national TV. So you put all that together, you have some issues with women's basketball. Husker men's basketball is... needs a good season.
They have a losing record since Sean has been here.
Right, right. And he inherited Timmy, but point is
he kept him on.
There's been inconsistency in communication with guys that were there or hired by Osborne and guys that he brought in to replace Osborne guys. There's been two columns of communication and visibility. And right now that didn't add up. I think somebody wanted a head on a stick when it comes to the Nebraska fan base after the Northern Illinois loss. They made the decision. Now, you do this right now because you can, first of all, but if Nebraska is going to move forward, get it done now. Get it done after you've sent some feelers out as to why you didn't do it Saturday or you didn't do it Sunday or you didn't do it Monday. World Herald reporting that there's some interest with Dave Remington, obviously a great Nebraskan, and the guy has run a nonprofit for decades for Boomer Esiason fighting cystic fibrosis. So maybe they waited till they had a yes or maybe or I'm interested from some of their candidates. You hear about Trev Alberts. You hear about Dave Remington. You know there's going to be a search firm. You know there's Coach Osborne with his advice as well. So with Nebraska, the way they look nationally, it's now shifted from Nebraska got beat by a team that they should never get beat by to the guy who brought Mike Riley in is gone to Mike Riley's in trouble to what next here for Nebraska. Rutgers is next and back to football. Meanwhile, you flip it around here and you want to talk Rutgers. This validates their program and Coach Ash and his vision very soon in year two if they come in and get a win. They have gone a calendar year without winning. They were 2-10 last year. They won last week against a really awful team. But they got to be feeling it. They got to be feeling, okay, this is doable. And Rutgers, you look at their roster and their athletes and their talent, they're pretty good. I mean, they have some guys that'll play on Sundays. They don't just have, they're not littered with them like the team that upset number two South Florida a decade ago with Ray Rice and Shiano. But listen, Rutgers can get back there with Ash. It's a fertile recruiting area. They're in the East, I know. But this could be a major statement and step for them and validation of the hire and where they're going. You've got two different vision quests right now. You got Mike Riley trying to keep his team together, finish out strong, and prove that he still deserves this job. And then you have Chris Ash and Rutgers trying to make their pitch to, hey, wake up. Rutgers football can get back there. And look, we just beat Nebraska. It's a very interesting dynamic tomorrow.
Yeah, and they're trying to prove a point, too, that week one game against Washington wasn't a fluke. Mm-hmm. Because you've got that game where they're in it. What was it, tied or close to it at halftime?
Like 10-7.
You're in that game against Washington, and nobody expects you to. And then you come out in week two, and you lose to Eastern Michigan, and everybody's like, "Oh, it's the same old Rutgers team again."
And it was a turnover like a fumble recovery and return.
And you've got the blowout last week, so it's like, do we trust that Rutgers is on the right path, or is it the same old Rutgers team? So, yeah, this is definitely a statement for them. But this has got to be a statement for Nebraska, too.
No, and that's what I'm interested to see. Got some keys here for Nebraska tomorrow to get this thing done. And you know what? When I think of New Jersey, I think of so many great Huskers that maybe their only other offer or option was Rutgers. But, man, they found their way to Lincoln, and I'm thinking of Rich Glover. I'm thinking of the Peter brothers. I'm thinking of Baron Miles. I'm thinking of Doug Coleman. I'm thinking of Mike Fullman. I'm thinking of Jamal Lord. I mean, Jersey's have been a really, really – Mike Rozier been a great place for Nebraska, and I'd like to see Nebraska get back there. But Rutgers, when they're okay, are really good at keeping their Jersey kids or New York kids at Rutgers. Penn State's been good at finding Jersey kids. You need to find a way, now that you play Rutgers every year, to tap back into getting some Jersey kids, some East Coast kids, because they're tough, they're physical, they're athletic, and it's worked so well for so many years for Nebraska.
You're describing the style that Nebraska wants to get back to.
I'm describing the style that Nebraska wants to get back to, and I'm describing the style that the athletic director, the next AD, will have to know and appreciate and embrace. That'll do it for us here, this first segment. We're down here at Miller Time Pub inside the Cornhusker Marriott. Derek Peterson, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity continues. Bill Dolman on the way.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, as we are live at Miller Time Pub down at 13th and L inside the Cornhusker Marriott. Come on out to High Life Hour, going on till 7. Plenty of drinks and food for you when it comes to specials. Come see us at Miller Time. Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, and longtime member of the Nebraska football program, joins us. Billy D, word has it you get to see some triple option football tomorrow.
I do. I am heading down to San Luis Obispo, California for game two of our Big Sky package. It's Northern Arizona. The Lumberjacks taking on the Cal Poly Mustangs. And Cal Poly and head coach Tim Walsh run the triple option attack. I cannot wait to see the game. I can't wait to see the option in action again. And there might actually be a couple of times during the game where I weep nostalgically as I watch a team maybe run a fullback trap or something.
Cry away, my friend. Cry away. Bill, it's been an interesting week. We had a chance to catch up with you right before Chancellor Green and Hank Bounds, the president, spoke as to their decision to dismiss Sean Eichhorst. You've had 24 hours to digest it. What's your reaction to this move for Nebraska?
Well, first of all, I have to apologize because, you know, I went to school at the University of Nebraska, worked in the sports information office for Don Bryant. And while I was there, my career thoughts at the time were that one day I would, you know, get into athletic administration, and my dream job was to be the athletic director at Nebraska. But I decided on another career path, network television, sportscaster. So really, it's my fault. Had I followed my initial dreams and become the athletic director at Nebraska, none of this would have happened. Tom would still be the head coach. I know he's up there, but he'd still be there. We'd have pictures of Milton Dan inside the offensive line meeting room. We'd have rocking chairs for all the members of the pipeline with their names on it, and Chris Dishman could eat all the ice cream he wanted. But everything would have been pretty much the same as it was circa 1995 or so. So, again, I apologize that I'm not the athletic director at Nebraska, and nor have I been. I should have been, and if Hank and Ronnie want to give me a call, you know, I'm willing to take their call.
They may.
So that said, you know, I think that the decision that was made is one that had to be made. I feel bad for Sean Eichhorst. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I don't know him. But in, you know, watching the story develop daily over the last several years, I just don't see where he has become a part of the Nebraska family. And I don't mean just the Nebraska football family. I don't see where he has become part of the culture. I don't know where he speaks Nebraskan. You know, it was said that a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was a couple days ago, that when you lose Larry the Cable Guy, you know, you're really lost and you're not going to get it back. And I think that after the Black Friday stuff, certainly the way the team has performed, unfortunately, there's just no confidence. And I don't see how, given his personality and his aloofness, how he was ever going to get that back, no matter how much success Mike Riley has.
Bill Dolman with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Well, it's funny you mentioned confidence. We'll get into that in a moment with Nebraska on offense. Bill, names you hear for the Nebraska athletic director gig. Before we dive in and get your thoughts on that, they're looking at an interim and then a full-time person. They are using a search firm. They are also using Coach Osborne. Talk to me about the culture needed at Nebraska. What does whoever's next need to understand about this place you love?
You have to be able to go into living rooms and diners and Big Red breakfasts and anywhere that there's a Nebraska fan who just wants to sit and talk about their programs, not just football, but all the programs. And you got to be able to look them in the eye and give them an honest handshake and represent the programs, the university, and the state well. You know, I firmly believe that the way, you know, Nebraska grew in the 60s and 70s was the old-fashioned way. And we've got into this corporate mentality that I don't necessarily speak to people outside of Lincoln. You know, you've got to be able to, you know, meet people where they're at, be it Fairbury to Fremont, Sioux City to Scotts Bluff, Omaha to Ogallala. And again, I think the last, you know, I think Sean Eichhorst for the last several years doesn't necessarily, you know, become part of the Nebraska culture. And that's why when you hear a name like a Dave Remington or a Trev Alberts, I think people are excited about that because, yeah, it's one of our own. Now, certainly we had that experiment a few years back, and it turned out to be a four-year case of the flu. But, you know, you're not going to make that same mistake. And you got to have somebody like Tom involved. And when Tom, you know, puts his seal of approval on it, people in Nebraska are going to certainly give whoever comes in, you know, the benefit of the doubt. Sean Eichhorst comes in and nobody knows who he is, and it's another Harvey Perlman decision, and he's already starting behind on the scoreboard, and he's never taken the lead. I don't think he's come close to tying the game. You know, and that's was part of the problem with the search process, and certainly there's been a lot made about the search process over the last 24 to 48 hours. There's stuff that I didn't know. And it's really kind of disturbing that that's how you operate at Nebraska. You know, where programs, not just football, but all the programs are so important to the people there.
Bill, with this next move by the chancellor and president and the input, does it need to be a Nebraska guy, literally, or is there somebody out there from outside the family that is quite capable? What's your reaction and thought on the choices and kind of the qualities or traits you need?
Well, you know, Bill Byrne was not a Nebraska guy by any stretch of the imagination, you know, but I think Bill was arguably the best athletic director in college sports for the last 40 or 50 years. What he did at Nebraska, he laid the foundation at Oregon, but what he did at Nebraska, moving us from the 70s to ahead of everybody else, pre-2000s, you know, Husker Vision and things like that. Tremendous leadership. You know, he had his problems with PR and the, you know, the quote, you know, the donors of substance that I listen to is something that's part of his legacy at Nebraska, and that was unfortunate. But Bill Byrne was great at what he did, and he let Tom do what Tom needed to do. You know, two tremendous leaders at the same time. But Bill understood that that's Tom Osborne's program and understood how important Tom was to everybody. But I think you have to have somebody come in who at least understands it. Maybe they're not a Nebraska guy, but they've been maybe in the Big 8. They've been in the Big 12. Not necessarily somebody with Big 10 roots, but somebody who understands the Big 10. You know, Kirby Hokut's name, I know, has been in the paper, the athletic director at Texas Tech. He's a Kansas State guy. He would certainly understand what Nebraska athletics are all about. I'm not saying he's the guy, but maybe somebody like that if you go outside of the family. If you're talking about Dave Remington, I can't think of anybody better to represent Nebraska football. The state of Nebraska, somebody who understands Omaha and Ogallala, would be a home run hire. He doesn't have to be the guy who knows, you know, all the black and white of all the textbooks, but he certainly knows how to, you know, talk to the people of Nebraska. Trev Alberts certainly, you know, has gotten some great experience at UNO. He's made some very tough decisions that still remain unpopular, but those were decisions that absolutely had to be made. And as a result, UNO is in a position to be a pretty good mid-major athletic department over the next decade. So if you go that direction, I don't think you can go wrong. And if you go in that direction, perhaps you can get a football coach, if you make a change, with some Nebraska ties. Maybe Mike Riley figures it out, turns it around, starts running the football a little bit more, teams get tougher, and he starts to win. That's all for the better. But if he's not going to be around a long time and you want somebody with Nebraska ties, I think you have to have an athletic director that is going to have the trust of the new football coach. And that's certainly what benefited Tom Osborne, you know, in the 1970s when he had Bob Devaney.
Bill Dolman with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Bill Dolman on Twitter, NBC Sports, longtime member of Nebraska's athletic department. Bill, a thought here on Saturday with what Riley and his staff have gone through this week in its entirety, not just the loss last Saturday, but the man who hired them now being gone. How do they get the kids ready for Saturday against Rutgers?
You know, I don't think this can be that big of a surprise to Mike Riley, to be honest with you. If he's been around athletics for 40 years, college athletics and the NFL, he has to have known that something like this could happen. So I don't think it's entirely that surprising. I'm sure he's saddened by it. But now I think we find out how tough of a coach he is. He's certainly the nicest guy in the world. But how tough of a leader, how tough of a coach, and how much can he get his staff on page? You know, does this serve as a motivator for everybody? It ought to. You know, they ought to be hanging that Northern Illinois picture in the locker room, you know? So the firing of Sean Eichhorst shouldn't be the only thing affecting the Nebraska football team. They got beat the other day at home, and that should be, to me, a much more serious thing on their mind than who the athletic director is going to be. Because if they win, Mike Riley's going to keep his job. That's the bottom line. Nobody's going to come in and fire a coach for going 9-3. Oh, wait, I guess we've done that twice. But I don't think Nebraska would do that again.
Bill, a game plan that'll work for Nebraska is what, and that I need a final score.
Well, I think that, you know, the play that has been most telling to me all season long was the safety with the football on the 1 yard line against Arkansas State. And I've been on this show harping about it for years now. You got to have the confidence to know, not think, but know you're going to get a first down on 3rd-and-3. Nebraska can't move the football on 1st-and-10 from the 1 and they end up with a safety. That, to me, is the worst play of the entire season to date. So against Rutgers, it has to be about the offensive line, moving the line of scrimmage, moving the football forward, and playing with some determination. Because you don't have a quarterback that is necessarily going to be a big-time playmaker. I think Tanner Lee has some maturity, but we've seen shortcomings the last couple of weeks. So it's got to be about the offensive line, allowing Nebraska to run the ball, giving him some protection to make some safe throws, and getting the job done. And I think Nebraska will get it done. I think they'll win it. I say 537-8. Hank and Ronnie, you want to give me a call? I'm available.
There he is, Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, Hail Varsity Radio. Billy D, have a good call tomorrow, bud.
All right, thank you.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome.
The Highlife Hour is rolling. Excited about that. Till 7 o'clock, food and drink specials. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, has ordered the amazing, I'll just say it, famous, tasty, incredible cheese curds. Highlife Hour till 7 o'clock. We're here till 6 with Hail Varsity Radio, inviting you down as we are here at Miller Time Pub. Home football Fridays, food and drink specials, $2 off draws. That is a good thing. We have some Husker swag to give away here shortly. Let's play What's in the Bag, Dr. Petey. Derek Peterson. So you have a big red bag next to you.
Big red.
Big red bag. And you have what inside?
I got a couple shirts.
You have a cornhead inside.
No.
That's good. I'm not a cornhead guy.
Yeah, I'm glad. Okay. There's a picture of me actually floating out there on the internet with a cornhead on.
Really?
Yeah. That was from a long
time ago. Is that the only picture floating out on the internet?
Hopefully.
Okay.
There's something in here, too, that if somebody doesn't come down here and get it, I'm going to steal it. Okay. I'll let you know that right now. Okay. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but
yeah, okay.
It's nice.
So let's get into football here. We'll dive into the injuries and some keys for Nebraska against Rutgers. Friday forecast is coming up at 5:25, and our recruiting hit with our dear friend Greg Smith of Hail Varsity and his recruiting expertise. So, good write-up here on HailVarsity.com about Nebraska's offense by Cody Nagel. Let's first and foremost ask the question and answer it. Will Nebraska fix their offense tomorrow? Go. I'm spinning the wheel in my mind, and I'm saying, yes, they'll fix the offense. It won't be awesome. It won't be great, but they'll fix the offense enough to get a win. What does that look like? It means running the football. It means running the football and getting yards on first down. And it means running the football and getting yards on third down.
Yeah.
Specifically makeable third downs.
Yeah.
Third and four, third and three, third and one. These linemen have been challenged. If they have any feeling or love for Coach Kavanaugh, they will be at their best beast mode on that line of scrimmage tomorrow.
Yeah. When you were asking, can they turn it around?
Can and will.
I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had this talk last week.
And then you say, well,
can the O-line get fixed? Can the O-line get fixed? We were talking about the defense last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're talking O-line. This can be a season where there's some sort of position group plagued.
This is going to be a season-long thing with the offensive line. And part of that is that you're on your third-string right tackle. That's a true freshman right now. Like
But he's a Texas kid. Texas kids know how to wrestle.
But he's third
on the
string.
Line of scrimmage.
Like,
no, I know he's third string, but is he third string because he just got to camp in June? Or is he third string because Kavanaugh honestly believes that he's not as good as Neville or he's not as good as Farniok? I mean, they've had Farniok out of position where they tried to kind of pace themselves from burning red shirts. To me, that's part of the conversation, too.
Yeah.
He's okay, but he might be great by the time he gets to be a redshirt freshman.
Yeah. See, I think the problem right now on the offensive line is consistency and getting a group of five guys that's going to play well for the entire game and not get beat up on the inside. I think really at this point, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to do kind of what Diaco has done with the defense and a rotation and just throwing young guys in there and seeing how they do, give them a couple plays, and then bring the starters back in and just kind of cycle through. You saw it with Tyron Ferguson in the first week against Arkansas State getting that interception, and then you saw him play really, really well before he left against Northern Illinois. I think that's what you're going to have to do with the offensive line. Yes, they're probably going to be inconsistent at times because you're cycling in young players, but you've got to try to find something.
You're inconsistent now.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to try to find something because the root of all of their problems offensively are starting on the offensive line. They can't run the ball effectively because they can't block. They can't throw the ball because they can't protect.
No, absolutely. And it starts with fixing the offensive line. And here's what I believe, okay? Here's what I believe with the offensive line. I think on their face, they're really talented and athletic dudes that warrant the hype out of high school. Once they get to Nebraska, what have you done with them? And Gates is a guy that has he regressed a bit? I won't go as far as to say he's worse than his freshman year, but he's had more bumps in the road as a sophomore and as a junior.
He's gotten burned at times this year too.
He rarely got burnt, but that again was on the right side, not on the left side. So, in fairness to Gates, it's still season. It's still a year and a couple of games at the left tackle spot. I think you just assume, hey, it's all good. You're moving over there. No worries. It'll be fine. And it was a harder transition. Foster, as a guy that since he got to Nebraska, coaches were really wanting to play as a true freshman. They don't want to redshirt him. Well, he's had injury issues. He's now a junior. And where does he have issues? Sometimes in pass protection. Sometimes there's penetration in the run game. Foster and Gates need to be better on that left side. Decker will be your center tomorrow because of Conrad's injury.
Nope.
He looked good in two plays. But why has he not been able to take over the center job since spring? We're talking two springs ago because there's not a ton of guys in the Dylan Utter fan club, weren't anyway, and there were some issues with Conrad in protection in part of the, you know, the tail of the tape breakdown with middle penetration. Yep. Farmer and Neville looked great in week one and were good in week two. Well, Neville wasn't because he was hurt.
Farmer looked bad in week three.
In week three, right. Yep. So you've seen guys not stay at a high level or even be consistent, but get worse. So it's now time for guys to lose their jobs if they're not going to do well. If Kavanaugh can't develop guys with depth, that's a problem. And if the other side of this thing, too, is you need to drill down and, again, find some consistency with what you're good at. These guys are better at run blocking than pass blocking. By all means, run the football. I know they showed issue with running the football last week, but it's been much more of a mess in pass protection. And I just, what I believe right now is I don't think they're getting enough live reps in practice against a one or two or even a scout team defense to get ready for game speed. I think that's one issue. The other side of it, too, is I think they're splitting too much time up, not being able to focus on getting good at one thing. They're trying to be good at two things. So it's time to drill down, have that come to Jesus, and get better. And if guys aren't performing, it is time then to turn to their backups. Mm-hmm. And their backups need to be ready because on the defensive side of the ball, the backups are ready.
Yeah.
Got about 15 seconds here. We'll wind down for hour one at Miller Time Pub down here in the historic Cornhusker Marriott. Food and drink specials. High Life Hour is underway. That means $2 off appetizers. That means a couple bucks off beers. They had such a beer selection. You'll be a happy guy. See a Rutgers fan, shake their hand, buy them a beer. Maybe they'll buy you two back. We'll wind down hour one with Hail Varsity here at Miller Time Pub, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Wind it down, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, live here at Miller Time Pub. 13th and L inside the historic Cornhusker Marriott Hotel. And if you're getting this direction from outside of Lincoln, what a wonderful place to stay, eat, and drink here, Miller Time Pub. We invite you to check it out when you're on your way into Lincoln from across the great state of Nebraska. If you're in Lincoln, hopefully you know about Miller Time. And if you don't, it's always time for Miller Time Pub. High Life Hour go until 7, $2 off any draft beer, $1 off house wines and well drinks. Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson is rocking and rolling the famous fried cheese curd.
I'm enjoying them.
Appetizers. So that is a good thing. Coming up, the Friday forecast with Klausburn, Brandon Vogel, and Greg Smith. A recruiting hit coming up with Greg Smith. Your thoughts on the visitors this weekend and where Nebraska's at in the world of college football and this transition. Name you've heard most, Derek, for the interim / athletic director job with Peterson. You had Eichhorst, you've had Osborne, you've had Peterson, you've had Byrne, you've had Devaney. That's your lineage. And you've had a coach or AD released. That's just been the fact of life since Osborne retired. Bill Byrne left on his own, but for the most part, it's not ended well for either entity.
No, I'm upset Peterson didn't work. That sounds like a good name.
Yeah, you might ask Babcock and Babcock about Steve Peterson, how that worked out. All right.
I think it's spelled differently, though. So
yeah, that just
that might be what the problem was.
Distance yourself, my friend. Change the spelling of yours if it's the same. All right.
No. The spelling is different. I think that's what the problem was.
Okay. There we go. That was very, very nice of you. Still time for you to get down here at Miller Time Pub, inside the Cornhusker Marriott. We're here every home football Friday. Hail Varsity is on the road. We thank Derek Peterson for sitting in. As next hour, we are going to get into some injury issues, where and how Nebraska overcomes. We just spent time talking about the offensive line. I'm excited to see Hymus tomorrow at that right tackle spot. I'm anxious to see Decker. What's the word on Decker? What's been keeping him off the field? And it might have been just confidence or being able to move on from a mistake. And you've had communication and mistake issues on the offensive line. And if you're Gates and Foster, you got to respond for your guy, Kavanaugh. And quite honestly, from a same page standpoint, listen, one of the first things you heard in the press conference after the loss to Northern Illinois, well, we can't have finger pointing. Well, you've had finger pointing. Nope. From Langsdorf to Kavanaugh. And Langsdorf is right, but Langsdorf needs to also be a little more trusting and patient with the run game. Easier said than done,
yeah. Excuse me. We've heard the same thing from Langsdorf for 3 weeks now. Mm-hmm. He's not happy with the protection.
No.
And he seems to be getting a little bit more upset with each passing week. And I don't know if I've heard coordinators talk about a specific room of people like that before, the way that he talks about the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Every time we ask him about Tanner Lee or about the interceptions or about problems and whatever they're trying to do offensively, he goes, well, we'd be fine if we could block.
Yeah. Message received. A message to you. Get down to Miller Time Pub here in the Cornhusker Marriott Hotel. High Life Hour continues on. Food and drink specials for you. Come see us. Goodies to give away as Hour 2 on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
And don't forget Derek Peterson. He is in the co-host chair as it's Hour 2. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. We are live at Miller Time Pub down here in the historic Cornhusker Marriott Hotel. Home Football Fridays, we are here 4 to 6. The High Life Hour is going from 4 to 7, $2 off appetizers. And let's tell you about the beer specials. $2 off any draft beer. TVs are going. They were showing the Rams 49ers game on repeat on the NFL Network. That was sneakily awesome last night. But many of you wrapped around Nebraska, the athletic director, vacancy, and Nebraska ready to go against Rutgers. As we'll get into football here, injuries for Nebraska, and some keys for tomorrow. Can join us via Twitter at DrPD15. That's Derek Peterson's handle, at Schmidt_radio or at Hail Varsity. First and foremost, level of concern for this game. I think before the year started, it was 1-0 to -, to now maybe 6-7. Some of you might be thinking 9. And we were talking last week here at Miller Time Pub, the Northern Illinois game. How does Nebraska going to react to Rutgers? And Northern Illinois, scrappy, yay, you know, whatever. Well, they won. So Nebraska is kind of in it, up to their waist, now shoulders now. And it's been just a tumultuous week for Nebraska football as the AD has been let go. And now Mike Riley and his staff have to kind of squeeze and focus here to get these guys ready to play. It was already kind of a mess with questions and no answers on offense for this football team. Now their boss is gone. In some circles, the finger being pointed at this staff as the reason that they made a change is in the athletic director's chair. Okay, Derek, let's first start off with injuries here before we get to some keys for Nebraska. This thing is just brutal when you look at Nebraska and their injury situation. Let's count it off. Stanley Morgan, first of all, has not practiced all week because he's had a brutal neck. Maybe he will go. I don't know. You hope he goes.
Yeah, Riley said it was a soft tissue issue, so they're hope tissue issue.
No, you say that.
They're hopeful that he can
he's got to go.
He does. What is it, close to 300 yards in three games. I mean, he's their go-to. They're hopeful that he can go, but I don't know. Doubtful, I think.
So Stanley Morgan maybe in the questionable category. Trey Bryant will not go on offense. Farniok will not go. He's got the old oven mitt going. Neville, maybe.
I think Neville was like a last case scenario is what.
I think he's got a busted bone in his foot.
He's got something. I remember seeing him walk into practice. Was it 2 weeks ago before the Oregon game with a boot on?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's not good. And then they told us after practice that it was just a sprain and it was a precautionary thing. And I was like, why do you put a boot on a foot for a precautionary reason? And now here we are 3 weeks later and he's still hasn't played yet. Mm-hmm.
So Neville is unlikely and Farniok is unlikely. That's your offensive side of the ball with four starters or your key backup. Defensively,
and Conrad's not playing either.
Yeah, and Conrad is out because of a leg issue. So we're now up to five injured on the offense. Let's flip it over to defense and see if you feel any better. Kalu still out. Chris Jones, you know, is still out. Marcus Newby, your other outside linebacker, out with a hamstring issue. And now also from an injury standpoint for Nebraska, you have Tyron Ferguson, who's the backup outside linebacker that has steadily improved and got time as a outside linebacker. So your top two deep at one of the outside linebacker spots, Gonzo. Yep. So right there, it's an issue. So we're talking seven of the starting 22 out or injured, or it'll take a John Wayne effort for these guys to see any time. You're down seven starters against a team that's coming in with some confidence during the week of Sean Eichhorst's termination and a week of hand-wringing with your offense. Does this just build up to awful horror movie for Nebraska?
It might get close. For all intents and purposes, you've got another outside linebacker out too in Alex Davis. He's not hurt. Giving me a weird look. He's not hurt, but he played very, very little, very few snaps against Northern Illinois, but all of them were at the line with his hand in the dirt. They don't want him at outside linebacker right now.
No, they don't feel great about his coverage ability.
No.
But when it comes to third and long, they'll run a stunt. He had a couple of pressures and half a sack.
Yeah.
So use him how you need to use him.
But I think this is not the type of injury list that you want to have this early in the season. Mike giving an injury update after Thursday's practice, it was like 2 minutes long. That's entirely too long for a team to have heading into week four of a season.
No, it is. And so how do you feel about Nebraska's reserves tomorrow? Will they give some energy? Will they be well prepared? And here's the difference you've seen too, Derek. You've seen guys on defense steadily get better. You've seen guys on defense coached up. You've seen guys on defense thrive in their role, even if it's a small appetizer or side to the meal. You've seen what they know what they need to do and how to do it, and they go perform pretty well. I like what Nebraska's done defensively as they've tried to get better and keep that trend moving forward, moving positively, moving upward. They've at least been able to do that on the defensive side, but it's been nowhere to be found on the offensive side.
No. And I'm not so much worried about the defense because, like you said, we've seen improvement. We've seen now six straight quarters of guys getting better with each passing play. The offensive side of the ball is going to be weird. Mm-hmm. Mikael Wilbon looked good. He only had 90 yards.
He looked as good as a guy running from three defenders could.
I mapped it out through the first three quarters of last week. I didn't get through the fourth quarter entirely, but 19 of 28 run plays for Nebraska, there was a Northern Illinois defender hitting or touching whoever was carrying the ball at or behind the line of scrimmage. That's not good. The fact that Mikael Wilbon still managed to get 90 yards in a situation like that, I mean, he was breaking tackles left and right in the backfield and running really hard. So I'm excited to see what he will do again this week. Feels like it's been forever since Trey Bryant had 192 in the opener.
No, I know.
The offensive line, I don't know what to expect. I want to see what some of the younger guys are going to do, and I really hope that we get to see that. But I don't know at this point.
Well, let's spend a second here on everyone's favorite I-back, Ziggy, Divino Ziggo. I mean, his cheer and roar was pretty loud last Saturday. Yeah. And he came in and ran for an 8-yard bruiser and then got tackled at the line for 2 carries. It'll need to be a little bit of Ziggy tomorrow against this defensive line of Rutgers. Let's shift gears and talk a bit about Rutgers. And do they impress you on defense? I think their coach and their co-D coordinator, Bill Bush, who we had with us on Hail Varsity Radio this week. I mean, those are two, that guy's is one of the top recruiters in the country, Bill Bush is. He just has been everywhere he's been. Two Ashes, really, really talented at Wisconsin, at Ohio State. And I think he'll get Rutgers eventually up to a 6-7-8 win team. Not always an 8-win team, but I think he'll build them even in that division. I think they're going to get there because of their talent pool to choose from. But does Rutgers defensively put a bit of fear into you? Is it more about Rutgers' ability, or is it more about what Nebraska is right now defensively?
I think it's
offensively.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, they've got some studs in the secondary, Rutgers does, but the defensive line, excuse me, is the place that I see Nebraska taking advantage. And that really kind of run the ball guy is going to be really happy this week, because I think Nebraska, where they're going to find success offensively, is running the ball at this front from Rutgers. I don't know. I think they'll have success running the ball. Maybe that opens up the pass. Hopefully that opens up the pass.
So you're telling me they're going to be throwing it a lot?
No, hopefully not. That's been.
You're shaking now, Dr. Peter.
That was the success in week one, was they ran it so effectively that it opened up the play action pass and Tanner didn't have to throw it 47 times. Let's pray for our sake that Tanner doesn't throw it 47 times in this game. Otherwise, our mentions are going to be trash heaps after this game.
Let me ask you this about the game plan. Do you think there's zero faith in running the football from Langsdorf at a certain point? Or do you think it's more of a comfort? This is my offense. This is what I know. And I've always chucked the football around. If you're going to lean one way or the other, what is it? Is it more discomfort with running it, or lack of trust? Or is it, hey, let's hit him for a big play. Let's get something going on offense. Let's spark it. And throwing the football's like second nature to me as a coordinator. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to do.
I don't know if it's lack of trust in the run game, because they trusted it a lot in week one. Week two, you get behind by so much. Week three, it's only 2 scores.
The run game helped them kind of get the offense going, though, because, I mean, it gave balance and it provided play action.
It did, but against Northern Illinois, you got, and this is not a quick strike offense. This is not an offense that's going to put up a ton of points in a hurry. They've got to be methodical with how they move it, but 14 points when you're not confident in your protection feels like a lot more than it actually is. And so I think that's what contributed to them passing so much. That and the fact that obviously 2.4 yards per carry is not good. You're not going to keep running the ball when you're getting 2 yards a pop. That's not going to keep you on track. That's not going to keep you ahead of the chains. And so you've got to pass it a little bit more. And I think that was the problem, is Northern Illinois knew that that was coming. They knew that the pass was coming.
And they had no fear, no issue at all with Nebraska's wideouts. They played press man and let the guys go after it. You've got better linemen, thicker linemen, incredible athletes from Rutgers. I know I'm making them sound like Von Miller, but I think Rutgers is, they're great against the run. So you're going to have to grind out yards and stick with it tomorrow in the run game if you're Nebraska, to even allow yourself to throw the football and have some play action. You've not seen Tanner Lee throw the football away. You need to see him throw the football away. If it ain't there, don't chuck it up. get rid of it. You know, find the mascot on the sideline. Try and knock him out, Varsity Blues style. Do whatever you need to do there. Let's talk a little bit about poise here. And to me, that is the one key characteristic and trait you'll see tomorrow from the winner. Rutgers hasn't won on the road in Big Ten play since the monster comeback 100 years ago, it feels like, against Indiana. They had poise. They had Leonte Carew, whatever. Nebraska showed minimal poise and being able to come back and get the win, get a stop defensively, and then come back and get the win once they trailed against Northern Illinois. Which team has the most poise, if you were to pick right now, pressure-wise, to respond to that poise question? Is it going to be Rutgers, who's not won on the road forever? They're really pretty new and not a great program, depth or talent-wise. Or is it Nebraska, with all that's happened this week, with the questions on the offensive line, with a quarterback that's probably soul-searching a bit, with an offensive coordinator that's not sure what he can do well, and they can do well offensively? To me, it's going to be up to Nebraska to be the most poised team, and I think they can be, but they'll be tested. They'll have to prove it and earn it tomorrow.
Yeah. Can I not pick either?
So, okay. So you're just going to say I'm good, pass?
Yeah, can I pass? Like, Nebraska needs to show poise. They need to.
But have they? No, we haven't seen it. They showed a little bit of poise coming back against Oregon.
Right, and this was...
That was more of a manhood check, right?
This was part of my problem. You're down 28 at halftime against Oregon, and it's one of the top five toughest places that both Riley and Langsdorf had said they've ever played in their career. So you're down 28. You almost come back from that after the awful first half that you had. You almost come back from that. That should
inspire... You should have won.
Yeah, that should inspire confidence moving forward in what you're doing as a player and what you're doing as an offense. And then to have, we heard it from Langsdorf, we heard it from Riley, we heard it from Tanner Lee, I heard it from Luke McNitt, the fullback. They panicked after that first pick six.
And totally went in the tank.
They tensed up, and it just, everything around it fell apart from that point on. You can't do that as an offense. We haven't seen them show poise. We haven't seen them show kind of that mental toughness that you need in a team. And I've seen people say, well, that's on the coaching staff. It's a little bit more on the players
yeah, than the coaching staff.
You've got to have some confidence in what you're doing as a quarterback, if we're going to pick on Tanner Lee for a second. You've got to have confidence in what you're doing as a quarterback and confidence in the rest of your offense that it was a fluke. The kid jumped the route. He made a good play. We can score points. We need to go score points.
The fluke part of it was how they scored 14 of their 21. Totally agree. But it's just been a buildup of interceptions, self-doubt, criticism, and then lack of help.
Yep.
It's been minimal help from his O-line, his running game, consistency-wise. They've had so many injury issues. It's going to be about poise. Nebraska has to have it, and it's going to be about turnovers. You can't lose the turnover battle. I'm going to put the bar a bit higher. You cannot have a turnover tomorrow against Rutgers because that's a little bit of juice they need. How long do they hang in this thing, and do they come out and not play you? Because Northern Illinois was ready to do it.
I think Tanner needs that, too. I think he needs a game with no turnovers.
Turnover-free ball game.
Yes, he does. He needs it very, very badly. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say we're getting close to Friday forecast time. We're down here at Miller Time Pub. Hail Varsity Radio on the road. Miller Time Pub, 13th and L inside the Cornhusker Marriott. Come see us. High Life Hour. We'll get back to it, Dr. Petey. Friday forecast is next. A recruiting update. Hail Varsity continues. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Roadshow Friday. We are at Miller Time Pub. Friday forecast commences in a moment. I don't know if he's in protective custody or what, but he's making his way for Nebraska Rutgers. Klausburn only has a couple of minutes with us, so we welcome in. He's imaginary and he wears red. Klausburn, sir, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay, and I want to apologize for cutting short the only reason anyone listens to the Friday show by abandoning it a little bit early, but That's the situation we're in.
A thought or two on the past 24 hours before we get your Nebraska prediction.
Well, actually, the reason that I can't be on the show for very long is I've got a job interview today. I'm always looking for a side gig, and it's a job I've had before, but it's something I feel I did fairly well, and it's going to have a little bit of hiring power, so I'd like to put the word out that if there's anybody that's ever been able to take a MAC school to a national championship on NCAA 13, why, go ahead and give me a call. We might have something for you.
Klausburn, you're wonderful. Okay, Nebraska Rutgers, the line is fluctuated between 14 and 10. We'll just make it an even 12. How do you see things shaking out for Nebraska?
Well, obviously, it's been a real rough week, but I think that this is a team that can face down adversity and probably come out stronger for it. Plus, this is a state that calls their state university Rutgers, which has nothing to do with anything. So if we can't outsmart these fellas, we might be in some serious trouble. I'm going to take Nebraska. I don't think they cover, but I think they win the ball game 21-17.
There we have it. Klausburn with us here on the Friday Forecast. Klausburn, be good. Travel safe. We'll see you down at a tailgate or several on Saturday, sir.
Okay.
Well, you just heard from Klausburn, and we'll get to the rest of the Friday Forecast. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity joins us. Greg, how are you?
I'm excellent, man. How are you?
Doing well. And Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity. Vogues, what's up, man?
Oh, not a whole lot.
Friday Forecast presented to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, please call the statewide helpline at 1-800-522-4700. All right, we'll start off in the Big 12. TCU and Oklahoma State, a ranked matchup. The Mullet and Company, my Lord, they can throw the football and score some points. TCU is as close to the only team historically in Big 12 play that plays defense. Cowboys favored by 13. I'm going to start her off and say I think this thing is a bit closer, and Oklahoma State gets the win at home. Their offense just too much. Good luck stopping that receiving core. Their run game's money, and it's going to be a bit closer. I'm going to go 45-35. Oklahoma State the win, but not the cover. I don't know that Oklahoma State's defense is all that. Vogues, what do you think of this Big 12 shootout potential?
Yeah, I can't pick against Oklahoma State until they give me a reason to. Seven touchdown drives on the first seven possessions last week against a solid Pitt team, not a terrible team. Certainly caught my attention. I think TCU will be able to hang around enough to get a cover, but I'll take Oklahoma State 35-23.
35-23. Greg Smith, Mr. Recruiting for Hail Varsity. Greg, what do you see in this one?
Oh, you know, I'm with Vogel in a lot of ways here. That Oklahoma State offense is something special, and it feels like this year Mike Gundy and James Franklin are the two coaches that if they get the opportunity, they're going to put it to you. I think this week will be no different, even though TCU's a game opponent. I think Mason Rudolph and the boys get it done this week. I got the Mullet going 51-21 over TCU and Gary Patterson.
Wow, a little poison there. The Mullet bites back. I like that. And Greg says the win in the cover for the Pokes. Michigan and Purdue. A byproduct of this is Jerry DiNardo getting stuck in a toll booth on his way to West Lafayette. I feel bad for Uncle Jerry there, but he finally got to Purdue. Michigan is invading. Their offense is, well, inconsistent. The Wolverines favored by 10. Purdue's last win over a top 10 team. The Drew Brees era, drumroll please, over Michigan 32-31. A little deja vu perhaps. I think this one is tight, but Michigan's defense is the difference. And give me Michigan 24, Purdue 21. I like the win for Michigan, but it's an easy cover for Purdue. We'll find out if the Boilermakers are real or fake. And I think they're pretty good. Vogel, what do you think?
I think they're pretty good as well. Michigan has not looked very good so far, but I think this one's going to be a little bit of a course correction here. I'm excited for Purdue. I'm excited to see that stadium look alive for the first time. Well, probably since Nebraska's been in the Big Ten for sure. But I think Michigan kind of pulls away here. I've got them winning 42-21.
Okay, the old you're Purdue and remember it type score, okay? Greg, how about your thoughts here? What do you see in this one, Michigan and Purdue?
You know, I feel like Michigan's offense, I think, comes back to bite them in the butt a little bit here on this one. I think that Purdue will be rocking. That stadium will be fun and alive. I think the Jeff Brohm hype train continues to go off the rails and continue to be out of control. I'm going to go Purdue to pull the upset here and a nail biter, 21-20.
Wow. Okay. You said Purdue Stadium and alive. Welcome to that visual.
Hey, it's 2017. Things are weird.
Yes, they are. Okay, a little SEC ball. Mississippi State, Georgia. I would go Ray Charles there, but I don't want to insult his legacy on that. But Georgia on my mind because they're playing some ball. They're favored by 5.5. Mississippi State, can they do it in back-to-back weeks? I don't think so. I think Georgia's defense is the difference. I think this thing's your typical slugfest in the SEC, and it's the run game for Georgia along with their defense that keeps them dogs, these dogs, perfect. And give me Georgia 24, give me Mississippi State 17. Vogues?
Yeah, this would be a fun one. Maybe between the second and third best teams in the SEC. It's looked that way so far to me. And I'm the same boat as you. I think it's going to be kind of a classic SEC battle. The athleticism is going to be high. Physicality is going to be high. And the difference for me is Georgia's run game. I think they'll pull one out here. They won't get the cover, but 28-27, Georgia.
Okay, so a nail biter and some validation or further validation for Mississippi State. Greg, what do you think here? What dog are you picking?
Man, I'm going to ultimately go with the dog from my second home down at Stark Vegas, my wife being from there. But I think Nick Fitzgerald is the difference in this for Mississippi State, and Dan Mullen keeps this thing going. Man, I'm with Vogel on this. I love both of these teams, and I do think these are the second and third best teams in the SEC. So it's tough for me to go against either of them because I do like Georgia's defense, and I really like their running game. But I do think Mississippi State finds a way to pull this one out and get the victory here. I'm going to go Mississippi State 31, Georgia 24.
Look at that. Greg Smith calling for the upset a second time in the Friday forecast. Let's head to Iowa City. Not literally. I wouldn't do that to you. Iowa is hosting Penn State. Penn State minus 13. They have looked incredible. Iowa is pretty good at night and real good at night against really highly ranked teams. Another top fiver rolls in here, and as good as Iowa's been on the lines of scrimmage, as well as their new quarterback has played, Penn State's just too explosive, and Barkley is the difference, and the passing game adds to it to me. Give me Penn State 31, give me Iowa 17. Penn State finds a way to not only win this thing, but cover. I think their offense is that special. And putting up 31 points in Iowa City at night, nothing to sneeze at. Give me the Nittany Lions. Greg, what do you think?
You know, I'm in a very similar state of mind as you on this one, which can be dangerous. I think Penn State is a super talented team, especially on the offensive side. They also have guys on defense that can get after it. An interesting storyline here is Saquon Barkley, Penn State star running back, said that Iowa quit last year when Penn State beat them down. I will have a little bit of extra fire in this one, but ultimately I don't think it matters. Penn State has too much talent for Iowa, even though the game's at night in Iowa City. I got the same score as you, man. I'm going to go Penn State 31, Iowa 17.
Okay. Vogues, how about you?
Yeah, definite shades of Michigan last year, I think. Penn State's certainly a more explosive offense. But I think Iowa will hold up here for the most part. Eventually, Penn State just has too many weapons. They'll get the last score they need. But Iowa will get the cover and look pretty good still. 28-21, Penn State.
Okay, so it's going to be a little bit tighter in Iowa City, says Vogues, but a Penn State win, but no cover. Rutgers and Nebraska, this line's floated everywhere between 10 and 14, probably around 12 right now. Can we just nod at each other right here and say, can we go 12 on this number? I don't think the number's going to matter. I think Rutgers, with the week Nebraska's had coming off the loss, the cloud in the great state of Nebraska, not only with Eichhorst dismissal, but just the way the coaches and players have felt as they're trying to get better on offense. I think Nebraska's defense continues to improve. I think Nebraska answers the bell. It's just going to be one of those tight ones, and you didn't think you'd be saying that. Give me Nebraska 24-21 over Rutgers. I think Rutgers gets a special teams touchdown, and that helps keep them in it. But Nebraska finds a way to survive and get back to 500. Vogues?
Yeah, everything here from the way Nebraska played so far to the week they've had to the injury list screams take Rutgers and the points. But I'm kind of with you. You know, it got lost last week, but there have been moments this season where the offense looked pretty dangerous. The defense, it seems, is getting better. I'm going to predict Nebraska responds to all of this crazy other stuff that has gone on. Somehow they kind of find a way to pull things together to a degree that hasn't happened yet. I'm going to take them to win 31-14.
Greg, what do you think, sir?
Man, there's just so many ingredients in going into this game for Nebraska that not only scream to take Rutgers in the point, but about a potential upset in this one. I'm not going to quite go that far, though, even though there's been all of the turmoil with Sean Eichhorst being let go and the uncertainty there. All of the injuries are actually what concerns me more about this game. If not for these injuries, I think Nebraska would run away and hide from Rutgers in this one. But because you have so many key guys, Trey Bryan out for sure, Ferguson out for sure, Newbie out for sure, Morgan may not play. I'm going to go Nebraska 21, Rutgers 14. Now, I don't think Nebraska covers in this one, but I do think they get a close victory where the score is a little closer than the game would indicate.
Friday Forecast is brought to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, please call the statewide helpline, 800-522-4700. Gents, we'll catch up with you next time. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, man. Thank you.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down here at Miller Time Pub, Hail Varsity Radio. Let's get a recruiting roundup at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. That's where you go, hailvarsity.com, to get all your recruiting needs. And the man all over it is Mr. Greg Smith. Greg, how are you, sir?
I am excellent, man. How are you?
Awesome. Appreciate you pinch hitting in the forecast. And how big a recruiting weekend we got rocking this Saturday?
You know, interestingly enough, it's a smaller weekend than last week. But do you think this week and last week would be flipped because of the 11 o'clock kick last week? But this week, so far, we only have one scheduled official visitor who the Eagles should have landed by now. And Christian Tutt, four-star defensive back out of Georgia, should be the one official visitor. As I put my recruiting roundup earlier today on HailVarsity.com, I was able to speak with his coach to kind of talk about his game and where he sees him in college, and he definitely sees him projecting as a safety in college. He mentioned the word physical about eight times during our conversation, which is what you like to hear. Says he projects to be a physical in-the-box safety that's not afraid of contact and coming down and making a tackle.
Greg, what are some of the needs for 18 right now as you kind of ballpark it?
Yeah, you know, right now I still think the needs that we had coming into the season have really bared themselves out as we've gotten into the season, right? And by that, I mean wide receiver and defensive back have been the two primary focuses for this class. And Mike Riley laid that out for us last year when we were getting ready to kick into this 18 class. And we've kind of seen that. Now, some of it's been injury-related. So you do have a lot of guys nicked up at both the wide receiver and cornerback spot. But those are your two big areas of need. And then the other one, which people are screaming right now, I'm going to say it, the offensive line, seems to be an area of need, but more so because you just don't have a lot of depth because of injuries right now. Like, you still need to be able to find a cornerstone tackle recruit, which has eluded them since Riley and company have been here. But you're really thin along that offensive line. And getting a couple of extra people in here, not just bodies to fill scholarships, but quality players, would probably be needed.
Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. It's where you read him and follow him on HailVarsity. Now, Greg, what's kind of been the feedback, the reaction from recruits in reference to the Sean Eichhorst dismissal?
You know, it's been interesting is that, you know, that's been a big question I've gotten a lot over the last day. And I got to tell you, like, it's not been a big response from recruits on the Shawn Eichorst firing. Like, I talked to multiple recruits, both committed and not, scholarship walk-on, you name it, run the gamut. And none of them had talked to each other about the firing, right? Like, you know, they have those group texts that they have with each other to kind of keep each other pumped up, check in, talk about how much they love coming to Nebraska and all of that. And none of them have talked to each other about that. Had a great line from Justin Holm, preferred walk-on wide receiver from Lincoln Southwest here in town. He's been having a great season. He said, hey, I'm worried about being the best high school teammate I can be and worried about my senior season. I have faith that the athletic department will get that all sorted out. I don't worry about things I can't control. I mean, that basically sums up what the recruits that I've talked to have felt about the move.
With that, Nebraska is doing what now with guys in the boat and guys they're recruiting? What's the coach's message right now? The man who hired them and brought them in, no longer there, but still lots of season left. What's the word from Riley and company now to these kids?
You know, the word is essentially, hey, guys, you guys bought into a vision when you decided to verbally commit to Nebraska, or, hey, we've been selling you this vision if you're, say, Micah Parsons, and we're still trying to get you to come here. Like, that vision has not changed. When we do get a new boss in place, I'll lay that vision out to them, and we'll continue going and pushing along and trying to continue to push this program closer to championship football. Like, that message has not changed. You just have to add that wrinkle of, I'll be able to sell my new boss on that as well. Whether or not that actually is how that's going to go is another thing and very much remain to be seen and depending upon who they bring in. But that's what Riley has to be telling these kids. There's a vision. There's a plan. We can still work this. We need you to complete that vision.
What's the latest on Oklahoma commit? He's a defensive end and outside linebacker, Jalen Redmond.
Yeah, Jalen Redmond having a fantastic senior season, a really good defensive end slash outside linebacker, would probably play outside linebacker here in Bob Diaco's 3-4 defense. He has been rumored to be a surprise visitor this weekend. Still have not gotten full confirmation from him or a coach or a parent on that. Still working on that. But the rumor is that he'll be here this weekend. You keep it locked to hillvarsity.com. Keep it locked on my Twitter page, and we'll definitely update you as soon as we can. But he's a very good player. He's from Oklahoma City. He's an in-state kid for OU. They made him a priority. He's been up to Nebraska multiple times before. He's high on the board. Like, so for comparison's sake, he is higher on Nebraska's board than, say, David Austin, who was here last week from Minnesota. Both good players. Redmond a little bit more explosive and a little bit further along in his development right now. He's a good player. I'll take my chances with getting him on campus and taking a swing at him before he finally ends up in Norman.
Well, Greg, you do a great job and a column you do each week, the story, Greg's guys, you know, guys that kind of your board of potential recruits from Nebraska, the wish list, so to speak. And Jalen was no longer on that. Also, Houston Griffith, Ronnie Perkins, those guys moved off the board. Tell us why.
Yeah, and also in addition to that, Houston Griffith moved off the board as well, BT and Howard Griffith's son. I'll start with him. He moved off because he's going to Florida State. They're just to be honest about it, and he has not talked much at all anymore about a potential trip to Nebraska. Basically, everyone feels like he's Florida State's to lose right now, basically a lock there. Redmond was moved off of the list because he did commit to Oklahoma, and things have kind of gone quiet with him. Now, sometimes things go quiet because guys are kind of looking in the background and still maybe going to take visits, but aren't necessarily broadcasting that out. And if he did turn up to be on campus this week, then maybe, you know, that was the case. So what you end up having is that I usually just move guys off the board because they're not the interest has just not been as free-flowing as it had been in previous time. And there are other guys that slide onto the list that have definitely been showing that interest, like a Tommy Bush wide receiver, 6'4 wide receiver out of Texas, who can fly up and down the field as well. Like, he moved onto the list because behind the scenes there's been a lot of talk of Nebraska gaining momentum with him. He's a player Nebraska would definitely love to add.
Greg Smith with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, about a minute left here. Give us an update on Micah Parsons, tremendous talent out of Harrisburg.
Yep, the last weekend he took an unofficial visit to Penn State. Everything went, of course, very well. Like you never hear of any of those official visits really going badly unless they come after the visit, like his visit to Ohio State, right? You just don't hear it. But his dad is out there saying that, his dad Terrence is saying that they still will visit Nebraska for the Wisconsin game. Mom, dad, and Micah will be here. Micah will get the opportunity to show his parents why it is that he's been so high on Nebraska. Nebraska has the opportunity to show his parents the life skills, all the programs that go into not just football, but how we make you a better man and a person.
About 30 seconds, Greg. Nebraska's O-line, talent down there, I think we both agree there is. When it comes to performance and running the football or even pass blocking, why do you think they've struggled, Bud, just from a game standpoint?
Yeah, communication, man. Like, it's been a weird situation. In which you have some guys, like, the offensive line has the most experience on the team, feels like. So when you have that many experienced guys having this much communication issues, it's really baffling to me. To me, I think it all starts right there. Get those calls, echo them, make sure you're communicating well so you don't have so many busts, and I think that you can then let the talent show that these guys have.
Greg Smith. Greg, we'll catch up soon, bud. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Chris, for having me, as always.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Time Pub, Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Miller Time Pub inside the Cornhusker Marriott. Awesome crowd, great folks. Beer specials as High Life Hour continues on until 7 o'clock. And food and drink specials, Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey of Hail Varsity is here as we've been talking Nebraska football, Rutgers, athletic director search, recruiting with Greg Smith, the forecast, so much to get into. We both think it's going to be tight. We both think Nebraska gets a win, Derek, and really, give me one guy who you think has kind of a calming game. We talked about poise an hour ago, and Nebraska's got to have poise. Are we in agreement that it's Tanner Lee that has to be the most poised tomorrow for Nebraska? Again, seven of the starting 22 are out with injury for Nebraska. It's going to have to be Tanner Lee, poise, Langsdorf. That O-line got to help him stay poised.
Yeah, I think Tanner Lee is an obvious choice there for a guy that is going to have a, like you said, a calming game. I'll go out on a limb here and make a surprise guess that's not Tanner Lee. I'll say Michael Decker.
Okay. Well, yeah, at center. Good call.
I think he might win himself the job tomorrow. Maybe they slide Conrad back over someplace else, or he provides them some depth, but the offensive line has just been so bad to start. And you mentioned earlier that guys are playing for their jobs, or they should be playing for their jobs at this point. I think I'll go out on a limb and say Michael Decker has a really good game and gives that offensive line kind of a, okay, now we've got our legs underneath us, now let's go.
Well, it kind of comes down to some comfort, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Here's the other thing. With Nebraska, you've got Jenarian Grant, it's special teams team, but he's good wideout, leads team in reception or yards. You've got Mitchell, and then you've got Bo Matthews too. Does Lamar Jackson have one of those settled down games finally, from a tackling standpoint and a comfort and coverage standpoint? Because you kind of got to see movement and improvement from him, too.
You hope so. You hope so.
Because he's got all the physical tools.
Yeah. You saw good signs from Eric Lee last week, though.
I like Eric.
He had some good coverage plays, some good breakups on a couple passes that should have been completions for Northern Illinois. He's progressing. Yeah. I think Lamar is a guy that you look at that needs to. You know, he keeps addressing that after the game and saying, I need to play better. I need to not have these breakdowns. Maybe it's just a matter of maturity at this point. Not that he's not mature, but he needs to continue
on field
to
maturity.
Grow. Yeah, yeah. And I think maybe Eric Lee is a little bit further along in his development.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Derek Peterson at Dr. Petey 15 on Twitter. Find him, follow him. You read him on Hail Varsity. Plenty of recap and thoughts on Nebraska as they get ready for Rutgers. Big thanks to you for coming down to Millertime Pub. We are here home football Fridays inside the historic Cornhusker Marriott. Chris Schmidt for Derek Peterson as we are going to bid you farewell. High Life Hour still going on till 7 o'clock. So if you're thirsty and you're windblown, you're hot as it feels like August outside, get on in here at Millertime Pub. Get yourself a cold one. Food and drink specials for you till 7 with High Life Hour. And we'll talk to you next time as it's Hail Varsity Radio on the road. Home Football Fridays, we are here at Millertime Pub. Great selection, too, of Miller gear. Some pretty cool Miller High Life and Miller Lite T-shirts. I don't see Bob Uecker yet fighting over the Taste Great Less Filling, but it's okay. Thanks to Danny Burke back at our studios. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning with the weekend edition of Hail Varsity at 7 a.m. Take care.